Good evening, folks. I've got 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, and it's time to start our meeting. Good evening. Welcome to the Minnesota OAHOW live meeting. My name is Dave. I am a compulsive eater and your leader for this meeting. If you would like to participate in the meeting, either by video or by phone, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, mnhowlive.org, or click on the link posted in the chat. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meetings, readings, and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or tool via our meeting's live chat. Only two our OAHOW sponsors read and share on the tools. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download these files or to listen to them live. We encourage all attendees to keep their camera on during the meeting. This will help us to feel more engaged and interactive. If you do need to eat or step away from your screen, please be sure to turn your camera off. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation and, for those who wish, please join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will not be done.
Amen.
I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Right here.
Hello, friends. Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, email, times available for phone calls, and whether you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care list. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would Liz J. please read What Is How?
Hi, this is Liz J., Critical Level Food Act, Minnesota. What is HOW? HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive eating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did HOW begin? HOW began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in HOW sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. That line of service came from the OA Suffolk County New York Sponsors Guide, PASS.
Thank you, Liz. And I signed up to read The Only Requirement. This is Dave D., recovering compulsive overeater in Albany, New York. The Only Requirement: Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the HOW concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, "We understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. And would someone please read the how concept?
Yes, I can do that.
Thanks, Mary.
This is Mary G., overeater, compulsive overeater in St. Paul, Minnesota. The how concept. The Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence for those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive eating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen.
Thank you, Mary. And would someone please read Reflections for the Newcomer? I can read that. This is Dave. Reflections for the Newcomer. I'm Dave D., recovering compulsive overeater and a food addict. Reflections for the Newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. That's from the doctor's opinion in the big book, page XXVI, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone, or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful health restorative. That's from the family afterword in the Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. Pass. And can we have a volunteer to read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
I'll do that.
Thanks, Tamara.
Yes, this is Tamara, compulsive overeater. This is excerpt from step 2 of the 12 and 12. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we've acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Unlike the compulsion, or under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We've driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, stale, or burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We've eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We've dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We've frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our family, friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We've also stolen money to buy food. We've eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we've turned ourselves into objects of ridicule, and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive system. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with or without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive system and our teeth while we starved our body of the nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in the feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered. Yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. And I pass.
Thank you, Tamara. And would Liz J. please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works.
Hi, this is Jay, compulsive overeater, food addict of a critical nature. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to a simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They're not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They're naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. As stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now, if you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. As some of these we balked, we thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideals, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Pass.
Thank you, Liz. And would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
I can do that.
Thanks, Mary.
It's Mary G., compulsive overeater, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. This is from the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60.
Thank you, Mary.
Yep.
And would a volunteer please read the 12 traditions of the program? Hi, Christy. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Christy. I'm a food addict. Sorry, I lost my place. Okay, the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, nor lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Christy. The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. The tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
Come again? Really?
That's what it says right here. So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that how sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper?
I can do that.
Thank you, Tamara.
Yeah.
Timekeeper, the 3 minute timing begins after the OA How sponsor finished the reading of the tool or tools. Please announce when time is up. Also, the first part of the abstinence tool plan of eating is 2 minutes, and the second part is three. Would a sponsor please volunteer to read and pitch on the tool of abstinence plan of eating?
I signed up for that one just at the last minute here. Yeah. My name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. This is plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The How disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in How. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the How program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. We do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Two, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. Three, we weigh and measure all of our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and scale. And I don't have mine here with me right at the moment, but Yes, you can take your food plan that you've gotten from a nutritionist, and it usually has the number of the food categories, how many you'll be getting of each one. For instance, I have four proteins, so I would measure out 4 ounces of chicken and then put it on the scale or weigh it, and so that I know I just have 4.0 and not 3.9 or 4.2. That exact amount. You can also use cups by putting your food in a cup and then either stuffing it down or kind of fluffing it down, depending on how you want to do it, but you do it consistently throughout the meal. So, and you just level off the top, making sure that you don't lick the spoon or eat the outside stuff on the outside. You get everything in the cup, but not what's on the outside or left in the pan or whatever. Let's see. You also have a phone in your abstinent kit so that you are able to call and reach out if you need help with something. There's food changes, which are where you need or to make an adjustment to what you committed already. And then I've heard it called having a food fuss is when there's something that went wrong and you really need help to get something figured out. And both, can be done through your sponsor or a sponsor. And so it's really nice to have someone to help us work through some of those problems and stuff like that, because without someone's help, I would definitely, try to run the show and not make some wise choices. And we have let's see, I think that's about it, all I'll say for that. So four, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Five, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. Six, we do not drink alcohol. Seven, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. And above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It's not the extra string bean that counts, it's the decision to take it. And let me just get this going here again. Okay, so yeah, I'm really glad that someone else has told me what good healthy eating is, a dietitian. I'm really glad they know what they're doing. I simply have to kind of retrain myself to get out of the headstrong mode that I was in, thinking, oh, this is healthy. And it was really not healthy foods. My quantity was off, my portion sizes, my choices in different foods and stuff like that. It was basically just all around kind of craziness. I did have to make meals for the family. So basically what I did was would make the meal for the family and eat a meal. And then before or after that, I would also have, of course, grazing in the kitchen nonstop and stuff. So it was kind of always really, and I thought, well, I'd never get hungry. And it's because I'm constantly eating. So, that's no big surprise. I really appreciate the fact that with my food plan comes a list of ingredients and then the measurements of those foods to make one of the fats or starches or whatever. It tells me right there what the weight or what the measurement is. So I don't have to guess. I know I get to choose what I eat, but I don't get to choose the amount I eat. And so that's really what's keeping me sane. I did have I traveled this weekend and stuff, and I took my program with me, of course, and went just fine. I'm moving, my office is moving at work. And so I went through my office desk and I had quite a stash, but it was a stash of abstinent backup food. And I was really glad. I've been there 5 years. Most of the stuff had been in there since I started. So I was looking at expiration dates, and I was just tossing things out. And I was really glad that, I was glad I didn't need it. And I was glad that I, hadn't eaten it off a plan, and I'm glad I, it's just good to know that I had it there if I needed it and stuff. So, that's kind of what we do, and you can stay abstinence no matter if you're in your home or traveling or on vacation or whatever. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for a plan of eating. Thank you.
Thank you, Tamara. And this is Dave D. I signed up for the tool of sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels: physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. Again, my name is Dave. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and an OA House sponsor. I just had a memory and a flashback as I was reading this. When I first joined the OA HOW program, I would read this piece about the sponsors, and the part that struck out at me was newcomers can be reticent to purchase literature. And so in the 70 questions, there's a lot of references to readings. And I went ahead and I purchased whatever book the reading was referenced in, not realizing that the reading was further down in the 70 questions. And so I kind of anxiously forced myself to buy literature that I don't want to say I didn't need it because I certainly need it. But I had to laugh because I was cuckoo when I came in, and a sponsor showed me how to pick up all of the tools that we use. I needed guidance, and I needed patience, and I needed love, and I needed acceptance, and I got it from a sponsor in the OA HOW format. At first, I was totally floored and really, really touched that a sponsor would carve out as much as 15 minutes a day to listen to me. I mean, I just had such a low self-esteem and a worthless feeling that it was remarkable that a sponsor would extend themselves with that service and care and love to me. And I learned by accepting that help that that's what we get in OA HOW, and that's what we pass along in OA HOW. And the sponsorship tool is such a vital and critical piece of our service focus. Yeah, I had so much to learn from a sponsor when I first came in. I had no idea what abstinence meant, So I had to patiently get a food plan from a professional and then learn about abstinence with a lot of fits and starts. I had some mistakes. I had to start over on a couple of occasions, and I had some stubbornness where I refused to call, and my sponsor had to practice integrity and model fidelity and say, you know what? That's a slip, and we start over. And so that's why my black and white abstinence date is not the first day that I came into OA How, faux show. But I learned about humility and integrity and honesty from my sponsor and from all you sponsors in this fellowship. And with that, I will pass. All right, let's do that sponsor line. For the sake of time, will all How and OA sponsors please join me in sharing only the following? One, how long you're in OA and how. Two, how long you're abstinent in OA or how. Three, how much weight you've lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by clicking the raise hand button or by pressing star and nine on your phone and by turning on or keeping their video camera on. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name. Please unmute yourself to share and remember to mute again when you are finished. Okay, let's go with Mary G, followed by Tamara, followed by phone number 612-220-2018. You're muted, Mary. Oh, thank you.
This is Mary G. in St. Paul, Minnesota. Abstinence date is November 1st, 2012, and I have lost 75 pounds. Pass.
Hi, my name's Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I was given the gift of abstinence on April 3rd of 2017. By the grace, by the power of this program, I've been relieved of 100 pounds from my top weight. With over 85 pounds in the How program, I am on maintenance. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and I pass.
Hi, my name is Joe. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. My OA How abstinence date is November 10th, 2009, and I'm down 120 pounds. I'll pass.
Okay, let's go with Christy R, and then I'll close it up.
Hi, my name is Christy. I'm in Florida. I am an OA sponsor working on becoming an OA How sponsor. My abstinence is new. I have a recommitment date 16 days ago, and I've given away 50 pounds. Thank you.
Are there any other sponsors that want to hop on the sponsor line?
I'm Kathy, compulsive overeater. I came to How on August 6th of 05, became absent. The next day, I'm down 90 pounds in the program, 140 from my top weight, and maintaining for about 15 years. Pass.
Any other sponsors before I wrap up the sponsor line? You're on your phone, you can press star six to unmute. Or maybe even star nine, as the directions say. All right. I'm Dave D, recovering compulsive overeater and a food addict and an OA How sponsor. I came into OA How in June of 2015, had some slips and got black and white abstinent January 9th of 2016. This program has relieved me of about 65 pounds. And I'll pass. All right, I'll now read clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion. And if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. And would a sponsor please read and pitch on the tool of anonymity?
Do that.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks. Hi, Kathy, compulsive overeater. Sorry, I was late. Anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and television means that we never allow our names or faces to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect. Wait, I lost my place. Held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. And that's always a good reminder, Kathy, compulsive overeater. It's always a good reminder about if you know somebody that's left the program, that we can just simply share with others that somebody could use a call. We don't have to go into details or share any more than that. But I know I too like to keep track of specific people that maybe I haven't seen for a while and try to reach out to them because, or even if I know they left, every once in a while I'll still reach out and do a phone call. But anyway, back to anonymity. I know that this is one of those places where we have the ability to share and process what's going on, even if we can't necessarily share outside these circles. So, you know, different pieces of our life, even good news. For example, just recently, my daughter, I found out she's pregnant. So it's exciting, but the news isn't, quote, out there yet, but I'm still processing, you know, different things and how I feel and stuff like that. And I can do that with the people in the group because I know that everything is highly confidential and anonymous and that it won't go beyond our conversation. I also know there's some things that are just so vital that, you know, there's that, I don't know about you guys, but when I came in, there was a group of friends and they were friends, but I felt like we always said to each other, don't tell anyone. But then I felt like they would tell someone, but then tell that person, don't tell anyone. And we kind of played this game going around. Whereas in here, it's so safe. And those really hard conversations can happen and healing can begin thanks to this tool. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy. Mm-hmm. Would a sponsor please volunteer to read and pitch on the tool of telephone calls?
Sure, I can do that.
Thanks, Mary.
Again, in St. Paul. Telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. Provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors and, as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. And how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. What's so interesting with you know, all of our Zoom meetings now is that we're in touch with people not only all across the country, but all across the world. So we can get a lot of different viewpoints about things, and we can hear a lot of experiences from people from all different parts of the world, which is really so interesting. And my morning routine starts off with my phone call to my sponsor, and then my sponsees call in as well. And I also try and get my three extra phone calls in during that morning block of time, just so I'm not worried about trying to shoehorn them in later on during the day. But on the other hand, if I have my three calls done, then I'm available for other people. And what's nice in OA How is that we're all making these phone calls. It's not like we're interrupting anybody, because we all need the phone calls. Whereas when I was in regular OA and when I was in Al-Anon, I did call my sponsor, but I didn't call anybody else. So that's a really rich fellowship that we have in these rooms. And what's also nice is the anonymity part, because no one knows either who our sponsor is or who our sponsees are. So if we're having some anxiety around either sponsor or sponsees, on our hookups, we can lay out the what is it? Not the person's name, but what the problem is. And just lay that out, and they get somebody else's perspective without anybody trying to figure out who we're talking about or whatever. And that's it's not only helpful in our rooms, but I found it to be very helpful, out in the world, that we just, leave out the name of the person. And if we have some issue that we're working with, that we can work that out with somebody else without the name involved. It's just a really good life skill. It makes us trustworthy people in that way as well. So grateful for cell phones. I mean, I know people that didn't have the cell phones. I mean, early on, they were landline people and having to drive miles and that sort of thing. And we just have our phones with us. So very grateful for the tool of telephone. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Mary. And would a sponsor please volunteer to read and pitch on the tool of meetings?
I can do that, Dave.
Thank you, Tamara.
Yeah, meetings are gatherings. All right, this is Tamara, compulsive overeater. Meetings are gatherings of two or more people, two or more compulsive eaters, who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we've received through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all, as how members we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. I was talking to someone not too long ago on an outreach call, and I said, and I'm not sure if this is exactly correct, but I said that this Tuesday night meeting was a Zoom meeting long before any other meetings were Zoom meetings, because we didn't have to have a Zoom meeting. We were in person and Zoom. And of course, now, Zoom is pretty common and whatnot and stuff, but it just feels like this is kind of the birthplace of how Zoom meetings, I don't know. I also really like the fact that we have that option. Some people say, well, I really like face-to-face meetings, and I do too. But, if you don't have that in your hometown or in your region or whatever, I'm really darn happy that, that we do have this, not only this, meeting, but other Zoom meetings. I am going to be going to an OAA meeting here this month, and kind of sharing a little bit and stuff. And I think it's really nice to think of spreading the story of how recovery and stuff like that to not only individual people, but maybe a group of people. You know, maybe someone will have a question or something, or will have an interest in it, or you know, you never know. You're just planting seeds and kind of putting a little, you know, giving them the information that's available for them to explore and stuff like that too. So you might not know it at the time, but you know, you're maybe planting a seed at a meeting, and it's nice to have a wide array of meetings and stuff for this program. So I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Tamara. And I believe, Mary, you signed up for the Tool of Literature and Writing?
Yes, I did. It's Mary G. again. Tools 6 and 7, Literature and Writing. Literature, we study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, or Today for Daily Meditation and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing, our inventories, and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. I did a little writing on this morning. Keyed off of the writing process can be very healing because more than any other tool of our program, it gets us in touch with our true feelings. Writing clarifies emotion, and that's from the OA 12 and 12, page 71. So we're getting in touch with my true feelings is a real work in progress. Growing up in an alcoholic family meant for me that expressing strong emotions was not acceptable. I spent a fair amount of time in my room because of my unacceptable emotions. Binge foods could calm those emotions down. I found my reading and writing around step 4 in the AA 12 and 12 very, very helpful. Emotions which often accompany our basic instincts are common to all of us and don't need to have the descriptives bad or good attached to them. I've really had to work at even allowing myself to feel anger, as that was so blocked in my youth. Anger can have a lot of energy attached to it that can be used in a productive way if I simply acknowledge it. Writing and sharing my writing helps me identify the source of my anger and to address the cause in a hopefully productive way. I also have guides to help me process my emotions, such as our fourth step inventory process. Ways to look at my resentments and fears and move past them into a richer place of serenity. And then there's just a little paragraph in Voices of Recovery. Writing is one tool that keeps me connected with my higher power and lets me know when something is or is not working. It is convenient, tells no lies, and speaks clearly. I enjoy writing and find that it often benefits me more than any therapist or sponsor I have had since my OA recovery. When I am angry, I can blow off steam. I do not have to worry if I am using I statements or if I am blaming someone else. When I am grateful, I can express all the wonderful things that are happening and realize it's not just because of me, but because of God and me. When something worries or distresses me, I can write and address my fears. When I am unable to make that spiritual connection, I can have a dialogue with God or the child who lives within me. I find the writing tool indispensable to my recovery, my life, and my relationships. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Mary. Yep. And would a sponsor please read and pitch on the tool of service?
I can do that if you need me to.
Thank you, Kathy.
Sure. Service, carrying the message to the compulsive eater who still suffers, is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Leading the meeting, calling newcomers, acting as Zoom host, volunteering at intergroup, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we can give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share our compulsion. For this, I am responsible. Those of us working the HAL concept also believe that our greatest service is abstinence. And it sure was for me. I mean, that's what gave me hope, was seeing the abstinence in the room. I had no idea of the actual 12-step recovery that comes along with it. I just wanted relief from the crazy brain of mine and the incessant eating. And I was looking in my 12 steps and 12 traditions for AA, and there's a paragraph that said in step 12, we sit in AA meetings and listen, not only to receive something ourselves, but to give the reassurance and support which our presence can bring. If our turn comes to speak at a meeting, we again try to carry AA's message. Whether our audience is one or many, it's still 12-step work. And that's what I love when I spoke at this meeting a few weeks ago. And that's something that's very appealing with this group, is it's, you have a great opportunity to be of service and to do 12-step work here because it's not real massive. So I do appreciate that. And, service doesn't have to be grand. It can be grand and big if you're able to do those things, but it can be, simple things too, like reaching out to the newcomers at the meetings, answering the phone when someone calls, volunteering to do a reading, a tool, etc. So I'm so grateful that I was able to hop on eventually here and and help out a little bit. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy. Mm-hmm. And will all people doing service for OA at any level please turn on your video and applaud service?
Yay.
The Minnesota OA HAL Live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line, or press *6 on your telephone's keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and tell us where you are from. If you would like to receive calls, please place your phone number, time zone, and best times to call in the chat window. Is there anybody here who would like to introduce themselves? Hi, Christy.
Hi, my name is Christy. I'm a food addict. I'm in Florida. Been in the rooms for about 5 years. This is my first time to this meeting, and I'm new in HAL. Happy to be here.
Welcome, Christy. Delighted that you're here. Anyone else new who would like to give us your name and maybe phone number? Well, welcome, Christy, and delighted that you're here with us tonight. The treasurer's report is given on the first Tuesday of the month. It is in fact the first Tuesday of the month, and I am the treasurer, and boy, do I have a dilly of a treasurer's report for y'all. Our financiers are very sound. We had a challenge in the last few months trying to recover a password to pay our web hosting service. I didn't want to let on to anybody that it was touch and go there for a little bit, but we eventually did that and were able to pay our nearly $200 annual web hosting fee. So we had payouts totaling $266.88 last month, and we took in $76.65, leaving us with a balance of $739.65. And the good news is we're healthy. We're not in a position to make a massive donation to fellowship-wide services yet, but now that those big giant payments are out of the way, that should stack up pretty quickly. And all of our bills are paid. Our big annual bills are paid, and our monthlies are about $35 a month. So we're in good shape. And that is our treasurer's report. Thank you very much. Seventh tradition. According to our seventh tradition, we are self-supporting through our own contributions. Our group expenses are presented during the treasurer's report. We support our intergroup, region, and world service office with quarterly contributions to help carry the message to other compulsive eaters. The World Service Office suggests a contribution of $5 or more. Please give as much as you feel you can to help others. If this were an in-person meeting, we would pass a basket to collect the seventh tradition. For this virtual meeting, we will put the donation link in the chat. And I'm just going to take a moment to take care of that. Do. Chat. Right. I will now read the promises, because I get to pick from either the promises or we've got some bad news for you. And I've had enough bad news. The promises. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. That's from the Big Book, pages 83 and 84. Are there any announcements? I have a short one. Our group has refigured our business meeting schedule, and we're going to quarterly. And our first and next business meeting will be the end of October as we switch over to a quarterly schedule. Any other announcements? Oh, that's in the announcement. I'm sorry. This group holds a quarterly business meeting on the last Tuesday of the month, beginning with January, immediately following the regular OA How meeting. If you have a new item for discussion, please contact this month's business meeting chair, who will identify themselves in the chat. Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At How meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the How program. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Please see the chat for directions on receiving your chip. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Is there anyone here tonight celebrating multiple years of back-to-back OA How abstinence? How about 18 months? Anyone celebrating 1 year? How about 9 months? 6 months? 3 months? 2 months? 1 month? Now for the most important person in our room, does a newcomer wish a chip of desire? This doesn't mean you're absent, but that you saw something tonight you may want. Is there anyone who would like a chip of desire tonight?
Hi, this is Liz J. I look at Ship of Desire to recommit to my program. This is a virtual one. I can get one from my home meeting, so.
Congratulations, Liz. Thank you.
Thank you.
Virtual chip delivered.
Thank you.
All right, step ups. At this point in our meeting, we would ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers. Remember to drink your water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups tonight? All righty. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. That's from the OA Group Handbook, page 10. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries tonight? All right, we'll all keep coming back. Attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the Sign Up Genius link on our website. All right, the leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. Tamara, if you could please tell me when there's 1 minute left.
Okay, I'll do
Thank you
that.
very much.
Thank you.
My name's Dave. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and a food addict. And I would be lying if I said that I love sharing my story. I definitely get anxious, and as the time approaches, my disease just rears its ugly head and it says, wouldn't you rather hang out in your lazy boy and not go to the meeting tonight? It would be so much easier if you just bailed. I'm grateful for the recognition today that that is my disease. I'm not lying, however, when I say that I'm really grateful for the opportunity and the commitment to tell my story when, either doing a leader share or, doing the 20-minute piece for this meeting or any meeting, because it's really a gift and an opportunity to review why I come here, because I sometimes get into such a machine-like daily plodding through that's not a fair word. I don't plod. I spring and do like t a Tigger bounce through our program on a daily basis, and I love it. But I don't often focus on why I have to come here, because I do. I spent years. I actually spent decades. A decade and a half at least, trying to find some other way to control my compulsive overeating other than having to come to OA. And I came to OA at first, the OA face to face, and for whatever reason, I refused to surrender to it. And that was around the turn of the century. I remember when it was coming on the year 2000, I was working in information technology and I had this whiteboard at work. And I just wrote 199 on this whiteboard. No one even knew that it was the weight, it was my goal weight, because I weighed like 230 or 240. And of course, we were dealing with the year 2000 software problem at the time. So to put 199 on my whiteboard, it didn't even raise a single eyebrow. But what I did with that 199 on my whiteboard, it was like I had fallen overboard and an ocean liner was sailing away from me. Instead of stopping eating compulsively, I gained more weight, and eventually I got to be even heavier than when I had written that on the whiteboard. So, until I eventually got to my top weight, which I think is around 265 pounds, but I don't even know what my absolute highest weight ever was, because I would not dare to weigh myself until I had gone to a couple weeks of aerobics at the YMCA and nearly killed myself and sweated half a leg off with aerobics and whatnot. So I think like the highest weight I ever saw on a scale was 258 pounds, but I'm sure it was higher than that. But anyway, the number doesn't really matter, because that's another thing that my disease uses to try to get a fingernail under my recovery. It's like, you weren't as morbidly as obese as some of these folks. You know, you only had to lose like 65 or 80 pounds. I'm like, my disease is telling me I'm a failure when it comes to being a morbidly obese compulsive overeater, because I didn't have 400 pounds to give away at the end of my compulsive overeating. So the point is, I had enough mangling experience with my compulsive overeating and enough yo-yoing and enough times to double and triple down and absolutely recommit my full complement of willpower to not compulsively eat for today. And I just failed and failed and failed and failed and failed. And I tried other things other than Overeaters Anonymous. I tried Weight Watchers. I tried P90X, which is this insane series of DVDs where they give you this food plan, and they sell you these fruit or snack bars, which, I followed the rules for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Then I ended up eating a couple of boxes of those things. That worked for a little while, but it did not arrest my compulsive overeating. Like it says, we lose some weight, then the food, I respond to the food call, and I start compulsively overeating again. And the next thing you know, I've gained back all of my weight, and I'm not feeling like I want to be alive anymore. And so at the very end for me, I didn't feel like I wanted to be alive anymore. I didn't have a suicide plan or anything, but I was not psyched about waking up every day and feeling like a failure and like, oh my God, how am I ever going to not compulsively overeat and binge again today? And I just accidentally backed into the OA How 2-hour format. It was not intentional, believe me. I was trying to get online at work with some anonymous way that I could just lurk in the background and not even participate and provide any service or even ever have to say my name. And for whatever reason, I was at work in the biggest tower building in Albany, New York, and the lockdown was such with technology that all I could do was use my phone to dial into an OA How 2-hour format phone meeting. It was a Tuesday, 12:30 Eastern time meeting, I believe, was the first one I ever logged into. And I was mortified and aghast that you people needed 2 hours for recovery, and that you religiously worked all of these tools. When I heard what your format was, I really could not believe it. I was terrified, but I also, and I always get misty when I say this, I recognized when a flotation device or life preserver was being thrown over to this drowning addict, because, like I said, I wasn't psyched with being alive at the moment. And so I didn't know if I had another chance or another attempt at recovery in me. And so I just some voice said, you better grab that, son, or you're not long for this world, or, you're just going to be miserable like you are for the rest of your life. Both were unacceptable, thank God. And so I started working this program. I came to a Monday night meeting, and I found a sponsor who had what I was looking for, an opening and a pulse. And I didn't make that up. I heard it from someone else on the Monday night meeting. But yeah, that's what I was looking for. Someone with an opening who would say yes when I got up the courage to ask them to be my sponsor. And I had to learn how to work this program. It's in hindsight and in reality, it feels so natural today to work the OA How 2 hour format. It's like it's natural now for me, but it was not natural coming in. It was a culture shock. It was a sea change in my approach towards life, towards recovery. I mean, I was in AA for 25 years before that or more. And thank you, Tamara. And so I never worked the program as rigorously as OA How has it mapped out. And I'm so grateful for the format. I have enjoyed the just a miracle of stratospheric recovery as a result of finally working the program as it's laid out in the literature. Particularly the AA Big Book, they talk about doing daily work, and OA How mandates that. I like to say mandate because, everything's by choice. I don't have to be in OA How, but I also don't have to be alive. I don't have to be in recovery. I will do this because if I don't, my quality of life will just disintegrate and I won't want to be alive. So I choose to do it, but I mandate it. I choose it. I see it as a mandate. There are no suggestions in our program because I'm a critical level food addict and I need you guys and I need this program format. So with that, thanks for helping me to scare myself straight another time. And I'll keep coming back for today and for tomorrow, I hope. And with that, I will pass. And I will turn the meeting over to our 20-minute sharer, Joe M. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. My name is Joe, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Can you tell me who again is the timekeeper?
I
Tam.
am.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, Tamara. Could
Hi.
I get a 10 minutes left, 5 minutes left, and 2 minutes left?
Okay, that sounds good.
That's great. Thank you very much, Tamara. Well, hi, everybody. Again, my name is Joe, and I am a compulsive overeater, and it's good to be with you here tonight. And my job is to tell you what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like today. The reason that I say that I'm a compulsive overeater is that I have no control whatsoever with food, none. I cannot decide what I'm going to eat, how much I'm going to eat, when I'm going to eat, when I'm going to stop. It's just that I've just lost all control with my eating. And I've got a photo here. I'm gonna I say, okay, let's see here. Then I can put it up to the camera. That's me. That wasn't even my heaviest, but that was close to my heaviest. My heaviest was I weighed about 120 pounds heavier than I am now. And I've been at a normal weight for 22 years because of how. If you're new or newer, we are not a diet calories club. We are here to recover from compulsive overeating, which as they say, an inside job. It's like, who am I inside? And then how am I outward to other people? So I ate massive quantities of food for many years, binging at the worst of it. I weighed 254 pounds. I was binging every night, and I was binging during pockets of the day as well. Most of my binging was at night, but I used my car as a binge mobile. My glove compartment on this, on the passenger seat, the back seat, but the floor of the back of my car was covered with boxes and cartons and cellophane wrappers because that was a place of mobility and privacy and secrecy. And so I used my car as a place to binge. I would drive up into the parking lot of a Super America. It's at Speedway now, but the convenience store, 10 o'clock at night, go in, buy a ton of goodies in quotes, and go out to my car, slam the door, lock the door, and proceed to binge my brains out until I felt sick. And I just had to do that. I couldn't function without doing that. And of course, afterward, I felt bad. I felt demoralized. I woke up the next day with a food hangover, which was like this sense of this malaise, a headache, stomach ache, head rush. I didn't want to get out of bed, but I had to get out of bed to go to work. So, I jump in the shower, throw some clothes on, and run out the door. I never ate breakfast. I didn't like it when the sun was out because that conflicted with my mood inside. I liked it when it was rainy and cloudy because then I didn't have to feel in conflict with the weather. My only pleasure was on Wednesday afternoons. I'd come home from work and I was just under this cloud all week. And then my entertainment magazine would come. I subscribed to an entertainment magazine and I'd have 20 minutes of relaxation and a little bit of, escapism with the entertainment magazine, and then go back down into this malaise. And I didn't know that that was related to compulsive overeating. I just thought I had an eating problem. I didn't know that I had a living problem. Yes, I went on many diets. Yes, I went to two paid weight loss programs. In fact, no, I went to three. I went to two paid weight loss programs, and then I went to a paid outpatient eating disorders clinic, which wasn't that different than the paid weight loss programs, to be honest. I mean, they offered like one-on-one counseling, and they gave me this diary where you record what you're eating, and then you record what your feelings are when you're eating. And I suppose that served a purpose of making me aware of what I was doing. But, awareness for a food addict like me just doesn't do anything. It's just not powerful. And after, how old was I? I came to my very first OA meeting. I was 30. Let's see, what year was that? Okay, yes, I was 30. I came to one meeting. And I was the one thing that drew me in was where they're going around the circle, and everyone was saying, this is in person, going around the circle, I'm so and so, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm so and so, I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm so and so, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I thought, that's what they call this. As soon as I heard that term, it just struck me as so exceedingly accurate. I hadn't heard that language, but they were naming what I did with food. But I didn't want to introduce myself as a compulsive overeater because it just felt so shameful. But I felt like a deer in the headlights, and it came around to me, and I didn't know what else to say. So I said, my name is Joe, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I just, for this moment, felt so shamed, shameful. And then, but right after that came, hi, Joe. I mean, here I'd said the most shameful thing I could ever say. And what did you all say? You said, hi, Joe. And that was my first experience viscerally of feeling like I'm telling the truth and I'm not going to get punished for it. There's not going to be a penalty. There's not going to be accusations and threats and criticism. There's going to be acceptance. I will never forget that feeling. And it took me 3 years to come back to OA. I was in for a few months. I left a big long relapse. I came back in 1997. So I've been back in Overeaters Anonymous since 1997. I haven't left the fellowship. But my back-to-back abstinence is November 10th, 2009. That's my OA how abstinence date. So why did I come to a place like this and what keeps me here? Well, there's a passage in the Big Book. If you're not familiar with the Big Book, I don't know if anyone's new here, but there's a book called Alcoholics Anonymous. And even though I'm not an alcoholic, when I read this book and I exchange the words drinking and alcoholism for eating and compulsive overeating, they're talking about me. And this is in the chapter We Agnostics. And you know what? You don't have to be an agnostic in order for this chapter to apply to you. I'm not an agnostic. I'm a free thinker. But this chapter is just, it's amazing. So it says here in the preceding chapter, so this is chapter four, it starts on page 44. It says, in the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. So then I go through and I say, in the preceding chapters, you have learned something of compulsive overeating. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the normal eater and the compulsive overeater. If when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit overeating entirely, or if when eating, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably a compulsive overeater. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And they use the word suffering. You may be suffering. And I think, why do they use the word suffering? Why didn't they just say, you may have an illness or you may have a condition? They say, you may be suffering. And what I know for myself is that I did suffer. I suffered with compulsive overeating. And why is that? Well, it's because when I honestly wanted to, I found I could not quit overeating entirely. And when I was eating, I had little control over the amount I took. In other words, I'm suffering because I'm powerless. I'm suffering because I have no choice about what I'm doing. And there is no worse feeling. There's no worse experience in the world than not having a choice in something that you want to have a choice in. It's awful. And so, yeah, I was suffering. And I was suffering so badly that I was willing to come to a 12-step program. And then I was willing to come to OA How. And I was willing to lay down my defensiveness and my arguments, which I get, I mean, I'm really, if they had the Olympics for defensiveness and arguments, I would be at those Olympic Games. I'm really good at that. And I still have to practice, you know, being willing to release my defensiveness and my, thank you, Tamara. I see I have 10 minutes left. I still have to practice that. I still have to practice releasing my defensiveness and argumentation. But it says, which only a spiritual experience will conquer. I think, well, they're using the word experience. And I love that they use the word experience because I experienced active overeating and I experienced all the ravages that went along with it. And you know what? I experienced the hell of not overeating. I mean, I would go on diets, you know, and I would eat three meals a day with nothing in between. And I wouldn't eat the sugary stuff and I wouldn't eat the salty stuff. And I was eating normal amounts of food and I was miserable. So I was miserable when I was overeating and I was miserable when I wasn't overeating. And so I was suffering. And the junk that came up inside of me when I wasn't overeating, I mean, what am I going to do with that? And that's why you can't tell someone like me just to push myself away from the table. You can't tell someone like me, well, just have a reasonable amount. You can't tell someone like me, well, just have dessert a couple times a week. Because when I do those things, which I did, I have an explosion of awfulness that comes up inside of me. And not only that, but I take it out on other people as well. So I need treatment for myself when I'm not overeating. One of the things that I love everything about How, but one of the things that I love about it is that it allows me to have super clear boundaries around my food so that I understand what I'm left with. What am I left with? Because I'm not playing games with the food. I'm left with the personality problems that led me to the food in the first place. The restless, irritable, and discontent, the resentment, the fear, the doubt, the anxiety, the uncertainty. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't have a frame of reference. I don't have a center. And in that place, I am just manifesting impatience and anger and lashing out, or with being withdrawn and depressed. I mean, I think of myself when I came to Overeaters Anonymous, I was a mess. And I'm not blaming myself for having been a mess. I'm just describing that I was a mess. And you know what? I'm not a mess today. I'm not perfect. I don't live a perfect life, but I am not a mess today. I have a treatment plan for the personality that I came in here with, and I don't have the same personality that I came in here with. I have a different personality. I have been, you know, step two says came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And I love that they use the word restore, because I've been restored to a person who's much, much closer to who I was supposed to be originally, who I came in the world, who I came into the world to be. My mother liked to tell the story, which it was so strong in her. She said, you slept through the night, your first night home from the hospital. She never got over being astounded by that, because when my older brother was born, he was, you know, up all the time and crying, and because that's what babies do. There was nothing wrong. It was just he was manifesting what infants manifest. So when they brought me home from the hospital a year later, my mother assumed that that was going to be the case for me. And she told this story. She woke up in the middle of the night and I hadn't made a peep. She was panicked. She thought that I had died. That's how scared she was. She came in to check on me and like, yep, I'm alive. But what that story tells me is that I came into the world at peace. I came into the world knowing everything was okay, that I'm okay, that everything around me is okay. So that's in me. And the program of recovery, where I allow it to do that, it restores me to that place. And when I'm sponsoring, you know, people who are going through their inventory process, and they've gone through that step nine, and then they start having experiences that they were not having before, and they'll tell me like, Joe, I can't believe it. I did this, and I this kind of conversation, and I had this experience at work, and tell me these new experiences, and I will tell them, that's the real you. That's the you that was buried under all that food and all that junk that's now been removed by the inventory process. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to say to people. I just on Friday celebrated my 12th anniversary at work at my job. And that 12th anniversary, thank you, Tamara. I see I have 5 minutes left. That 12th anniversary is directly the result of this program of recovery. I am absolutely clear. I am so clear about that. I'm as clear as I'm sitting here. That is why I've been at my job for 12 years, because this program has taught me that my job at a job, when I have a paid job, my job is to be of service. I didn't know that. I used to think that my job was to work myself into the ground, get resentful, overeat over it, lash out at my employer because they weren't doing what I wanted to do. That's what I thought my job was. And today I understand that my job is to be of service. How do I make things as simple as possible for my supervisor? How do I communicate well? How do I show up with my colleagues? How do I be a responsible and responsive and collaborative employee? In that 12 years, my organization does yearly performance reviews. And I'm really grateful for that because I don't have to guess, you know, how am I doing? And I get glowing performance reviews. I've gotten glowing performance reviews every year that I've been there because of the program of recovery. Now, my supervisor doesn't know that, but I know that. And I'm telling you that because I get to bring my renewed spirit. What does the big book say? You know, we bring our renewed spirit into our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. That's my occupation. And it's so gratifying. I want to be of service today. It's enjoyable. It's meaningful. It makes my life, to be honest with you, being of service makes my life worth living. I need to show up in service to others. Recently, I added a third sponsee to my schedule. I was sponsoring two people for, you know, that was my load, and I added a third person. I am so glad I did that. I get to show up and be of service to three people who call me every day. And I get to have my sponsorship muscle exercised. And I make mistakes. You know, I make mistakes in life and I make mistakes as a sponsor. I was on the phone with someone earlier today, not from this fellowship, but from another fellowship. I had to call her and make an amends for having been impatient with her. But that's what we get to do. We don't have to live with this stuff hanging over our head. When we fall and stumble, which we do, I mean, they built step 10 into the process. We get to inventory it, make amends where, you know, make amends where we owe it, and then move on. If you saw me live my life, you would see, thank you, Tamara. I have 2 minutes left. If you saw me live my life, you would see where my struggles are. You absolutely would. You would see where my downfalls are and my limitations. You would see that. What you would not see is a person who's a mess. And if you put, and you also would see a very ordinary life. If you watched me live my life, you would see a lot of ordinariness. No question about it. But if you put my life today side by side with the life I used to live, you would see a 180 degree difference in the human being before you. And that's the story. That's the story I want to tell you. It is not so much how I'm living today, but it's the difference between how I used to live and how I live today. So that's my story this evening, and I'm sticking to it. Thank you for having me and letting me share. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Joe. Let's see. All right, the floor is now open for 3 minute pitches or sharing. In HOW meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch? Please turn on your camera and unmute yourself. Well, how about we wrap up our meeting then? I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Joe, who offered so much of herself. We also encourage everyone to sign up for service for next week's meeting. You can click on the Sign Up Genius link that was posted in the chat to sign up for readings or tools for future meetings. I believe our sign-up genius can take sign-ups all the way through December. So I love to get out ahead of my disease and do that in advance. I may curse myself for it on certain Tuesday nights, but I need to be here and I'm grateful for that. Let's see. I believe Liz signed up for the reading of Just for Today.
Hi, Liz J. Critical Level FUEX. Compulsive overeater, just for today. Just for today, I'll try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This seems to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I'll take my luck as it comes and sit myself to it. Just for today, I will strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I'll read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for the day, I will be agreeable. I'll look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act fearlessly, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for the day, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I'll be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. Fast.
Thank you, Liz. Closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will help you reach and maintain a healthy weight. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer? Please unmute yourselves and turn on your video, and let's pray for those who are still suffering. God.
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 Grant me the ability to accept the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much,
Joe.
Thank
you.
Give a lot of love.
Thanks everyone for all your service tonight.
Thank you
for your service.
Yes. Have a good week. Bye bye.
Yeah. Have a good night.
Thanks, folks. Thanks for helping me stay abstinent today. End this.